We begin the current daf masech. This is the Darim daf chaf. We begin at the top of the yamid. The gemara continues with the next mishnah. Now, as the Ran explains on the bottom of Yud Ches and Beis, says that now this current mishnah is discussing the second half of the mishnah daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, where there were two components. We said stam the Darim, when there's a statement that was made possibly a neder, possibly not, we'll interpret it lachumra as stringent that it is a neder. Now, however, the mishnah said upirushim lahakal, but the interpretation is lenient. And that is, if the person says, what I really meant was this, which is not a neder, we believe him. So the Mishnah of Yud Ches Amud Beis gave many examples of what stam nedarim lahachmer. And now our Mishnah of Chaf Merav explains what are the cases of Pirushim lahakam. Now the Ram points out an obvious question, and that is, why didn't the Mishnah that we're going to quote right now just say the same cases that were mentioned of Yud Ches Amud Beis, which were stam nedarim, where we said that, okay, if the person doesn't attribute it to what he meant to say, will interpret it stringently. But if he says, let's say, for example, the case of when the person says, Chayrim, stam. So he said that the interpretation will be L'chumra, that it means Chayrim Gevaya. But let our Mishnah say, if the person is Mefarish and explains what he meant to say was Chayrim Shal Kahanim, there's going to be Mutter. Why do we pick different cases to discuss the Perushim L'Hakal? So that the Ran says that our Mishnah is saying a Chiddush, that even though these nedarim that he's explaining in a bizarre fashion, which are far-fetched interpretations, which really don't make sense that that's what he really meant to say. Like one of the cases, instead of saying cherim, he meant chermik kanim. He says kechermul shel yam, which is like a net that's used to catch fish. Still, he's believed. That's why we say the chiddush in our Mishnah, such far-fetched interpretations, it doesn't make a difference. Pirushim ar lahakal. So our Mishnah begins. Nader b'cherim. Someone, let's say, said a neder that this should be like a cherim. Now, so stam cherim is lahachma, like our Mishnah said in Yechesim Beis. It would mean cherim gevaya. But v'amr, he explains. He says, no. Lo inadarti ela b'cherim shel yam. He says, I wanted this object to be like a net that's used to catch fish from the sea, which is called a cherim. So he's believed. Let's say he says b'carbon. I want this thing to be like a carbon. Now, generally, that would be aser. But V'amr, he explains, he says, no, lo inadarte el b'karbonu shel malachim. I wanted it to be like those offerings that are brought to kings, which is obviously not a davar hanader, and therefore his interpretation will permit what he had said, that this should be like that. Moreover, the next case is that if somebody is talking with his friend, and he tells him, hari atzmi karbon. Now, that sounds like that he's trying to say that atzmi is myself, that I should be like a karbon. But V'amr, he explains that, no. I left for myself a bone. Atzmi can mean myself or can mean a bone, etzem. I have a bone in my house which I keep secluded for this purpose, that I take nidarim on that. And he's believed to say that it's the bone and not himself that he's saying that is going to be a carbon. Or let's say he says, koinim ishti nanisli, that based on the prohibition of a koinim, which is issa of neder, it's a kinui, and then my wife should be forbidden to me. Bavamer explains, lo inadarti ela b'ishti harishayna shegirashti. Who did I mean? I mean my first wife that I divorced. Although regularly you say your wife, you mean this one. But again, pirushim lahakal, he can interpret it means his first wife. Now the Mishnah concludes and says, akulon, regarding all these cases that we just described, ein nishalm lahem. Now the Gemara explains that what it means, ein nishalm alei, means say that you don't have to even be shayl. You don't have to find an opening for the neder. This part of the Mishnah is referencing to a Talmud Chacham. In the Talmud Chacham, let's say the first case in our Mishnah says he's nader b'cherim, and then he says, yo, what I meant b'cherim, I meant b'cherim shel yam, I meant the nets that are used to catch fish. He's believed, and he doesn't even have to be shoyel, which generally when you make a neder, you want to get out of it, you have to find a pesach, an opening, or charot, regret. You don't need to even find a way out, because it's nothing. But v'im nishalu, which the Gemara explains that if let's say we're talking about somebody that's not believed, for example, an Am Ha'aretz, ignoramus, who needs she'ela, he needs to find a way out of this neder, then such a person, ein shen oisa, so we punish them. Which means to say that if let's say this neder that he took, which again he's interpreting that it's not a neder whatsoever, he says, I said it should be like a net that's used to catch fish. But if let's say before he came to ask us what he should do about this seemingly possibly neder, he already was noig heter. He already did the thing. He used it for things, and he didn't consider it like a neder. Then we punish him. And that is, we do not permit him to use these things in the way of heter until he uses it for the amount of days that he used it heter. he should have that amount of days of Issa. So let's say he said that this should be a Cherim. And although we're saying that it's essentially Mutter because he's interpreting it means Cherim Yishol Yam, but let's say before it comes to Bezin for 10 days, he's like, it's not a problem. And he uses it for 10 days. And then he comes to Bezin, before they'll tell him that it's okay, it's not a Neder, he's first going to have to, for 10 days, use it like it is, like it was a Neder. Moreover, Umachmir Nalein. We're also stringent with the Amaratzim, and that is, we don't let them out of this Neder that they took with what's called Charata. Charata means to say that if we say that, do you regret, if you would have known, I mean, we find a way for the person that we understand that when he took the Neder, he was angry, he was in a situation that really would not have done it. So he regrets, he wasn't in his clear state of mind. Now that's an easy way out because, of course, I took a Neder, it must have been something that was agitating me, irritating me, and that's why I did it, but I regret that. So on that, the first opinion on Mishnah holds that, no, we can't let him, this Am Haaretz, get out of it just with Charata. We only let him out of it until we find what's called a Pesach. A Pesach is an opening that, meaning we say that it's an error in what you had done, obviously, because if you would have seen the future consequences, would you have done that? No, I wouldn't have done that. I didn't realize that could be the consequences. Oh, that's a Pesach. It's an opening that the Neder wasn't a Neder whatsoever. So on that, Divrei Meir holds that we're stringent and we don't let him get out of it just with the easy way out of Charata. He needs to have a Pesach. Now, the Chachamim, they argue in Rav Meir. They say, Peschel and Pesach mimakam acher. We do find an opening from elsewhere. And that is, as the Ran explains, the Chacham argue on two points. First of all, that we do not punish the person if he violated the Neder. In other words, if he went and before he came to Bezdin to ask, he was using it and he didn't, using it in the way of the Neder, it's not a problem. But moreover, they hold that we do let him get out of it just with Charata. Now, the reason why Charata, regret, is called Mimakam Ach from another place is because unlike Pesach, which is an opening from the consequences of the Neder itself, Charata is an external circumstance that, meaning the Neder is not something that you would have changed or seen or the unforeseen consequences. It's the regret of the situation that you were in at that time which caused you to make the Neder. So that's called from elsewhere, and therefore the Chacham Armekel, they hold that we even let him get out of it even with Charata, which is called from elsewhere. However, Malamdin Eisan, but we teach the Am Haaretz that he should be Noyig Iser. He should accustom himself to act in a prohibitory way, even with these Nadarm, which are not really Nadarm. Now, as the Ran explains, it's specifically these cases that our Mishnah discusses, where essentially the interpretation is really more stringently. It makes more sense to say that it was really a Neder than the lenient interpretation the person is trying to say. So on that, we say that, so the Am Haaretz needs to ask whether it means to say, like Rav Meir, that he needs to find the Pesach, or like the Chum, that you could even do it with Charata. But however, the Ran says, regarding the cases of the Mishnah of Yotchesim and Beis, where he used the terms like babasa maliach, then if he explains, even Am Haaretz, that he was referencing to idol worship, then, or like in the case of Cherim, he says he meant it was Cherim Yishol Kahanim, then even that by Am Haaretz, actually he would not need Sheila, because that is really open for interpretation. It's only the halachas of our Mishnah that we teach them that they should really be Noik Yisr. And the reason being is because they're really leaning towards the stringent interpretation that it meant it was a real Neder, and Kadesh Leinugu Kalas Reish Ben Nedarim. We don't want a person to act lightheaded towards Nedarim. It's a very stringent type of halacha regarding taking a vow, and therefore, although it's essentially not a Neder as the person is interpreting it, but we still, regarding Am Haaretz, require a She'elo some way out of it, and that there should be Noik Yisr. Now, the Gemara really asks the questions that we alluded to already in the interpretation of the Ran and the Mishnah. The Gemara asks, how gufa kasha? Seems to be an internal contradiction in the Mishnah. Amrit, first you say, ein nishan lahem. These are not really in the Dharma because the person interpreted that it didn't really mean another. So you didn't have to even be shoyel on it. You don't have to ask to a sage to find a way out. But Vahadatani, then right after, the Mishnah says, im nishalu, if they ask, we punish him, we stringent on him. It sounds like that you need a way out, and actually when you come to find a way out, we're pretty severe with you. So Amar Rav Huda says, Hachik Tanya, this is what the Mishnah was saying. The Kulon in Tzrichin Sheila, all these cases do not need a way out. They're just not a Neder. Now, Bamedvam Amu, when we're just talking about a Tamar Chacham, a Tamarik scholar, Avaba Am Haaretz, Shebal Lishol, but an Am Haaretz, who they're ignorant of the Halacha, and they could come to be lax in the real Halachas of Nedarim. So when they come to ask, Then we punish him and we are stringent on him. So the Gemara asks, Bishlam Machmir, we understand what it means to be stringent with him. Which is what Remeir's opinion that who the Chacham argue on that, and he says, because we don't open up with regret. Regret's not good enough. You got to find a real Pesach, an opening in the nether itself to find the consequences of that nether that you would not have wanted that. What does Remeir mean when he says that we punish him? So that the Gemara says, Kedetan, like Luna Braisa. Misha Nazar, if someone took upon himself a vow of Naziris, the avow of Naziris, and he violates the Naziris, so Enis Kokenlai. So we don't address this person, which means to say, and that's the application for the halacha of our Mishnah, what means we punish him, as we explained this already when we explained the Mishnah, that the person has to first correlate the amount of days that he disregarded his nether. He has to first do those same amount of days in accustoming and doing those things which are, for example, acting in his Naziris. That's the Rabbi Huda. That's the opinion of Rabbi Huda, that we don't address him until he first does the amount of days that he violated. That's how many days he has to go ahead and be noig and do the days of the Naziris. Which, that's the halacha, that we punish him. That is, we're not going to be shoyl on his neder until if he didn't come to Bezna for 10 days and he was being noig heter, he has to first be noig yeser. Now, Rabbi Yasi says, now, when did we say that he has to do those amount of days of iser, meaning of heter, that he permitted himself to use that thing which was forbidden, and then use those same amount of days in prohibition? That's only ben naziris mu'etis. If it's a small amount of days, let's say, of his naziris that he disregarded, of ben naziris meruba, but if he, let's say, had a large naziris that he disregarded, meaning that he waited more than 30 days, then da'i lamad yom, Rabbi Yisrael holds is enough just that he has to just first do a naziris of 30 days, and then we'll address his needs that he has with this naziris, which is challenging for him. Now, Rabbi Yisrael raises comments regarding this braisa. He says, since the rabbis say that we don't address ourselves to this Nazir who violated his Naziris until he is Noig Ben Isser, like the days that he was Noig Heter, so Beidina de Mistakaki, what comes out is that if there is a court that addresses this person and takes care of his needs, Loy Ovid Shopper, they're not acting appropriately. In other words, like the Ran explains, that what Rabbi Yisrael is coming to be Mechadish is that don't say that this, that the halacha was Enis Kakanloy, means to say that don't run after him to find a way out of his neder that he can get out of it, because that's, although the halacha generally is like that, that we go after someone that he shouldn't violate his neder, because even if someone fulfills his neder, as Yimor will tell us later on, Chav Bezim and Alf, he's called a sinner. And that is, if someone fulfills his neder, it's like he brought a sacrifice on a bama, which is forbidden to bring a carbon. Now, however, we would think that if he comes to on his own, and he requests, I want a way out, this is overwhelming, I can't keep this Naziris, then we would permit him. And that is what Rabbi Yisrael is teaching, that's not true. Rather, a court that does address his needs is not doing appropriately until he's Noig Ben Isser, like the days that it was Noig Ba Heter. It's not only that we don't run after him, we actually, even if he comes, we don't address it. You first have to go ahead and do the same amount of Isser as Heter, and that's the ancient Isser of our Mishnah. Now, the Chachamim, they argued on Remeir. They said, Paiskhanle Pesach, you find the opening from elsewhere. In other words, you don't need just what's called a Pesach. You could even get out of it with charat, with regret. However, we're malamed in Eisen that he should actually fulfill the neder. And the reason is we don't want people to have a kalas roish, a lightheadedness towards nedar. Now, Tana, we learn the braisa that follows on this theme. La'ilam alti rogel b'nedar. A person should not be accustomed to making nedar vows. She'saifach limo b'shvuz, because ultimately what's going to happen is you're going to end up transgressing even a shvuah, which is more stringent, which the Pasuk says, lo yanaka, which is pretty severe. So neder and shvua are pretty similar. If you're going to take nedarim, you might come to do shvuas, and if you violate that, that's pretty bad. Another thing that a person should not be accustomed to is, v'alti rogel itzel amo'art. Don't hang around an ignoramus. She'saifich la'achil chatfom, he's going to end up giving you shearing from his food, which is untithed, because amo'art, that's why there's halach of demai. So don't hang around, because you're going to end up eating tavul, which is an iser. Moreover, alti rogel itzel koyin amaoritz. Don't hang around either a koyin etz amaoritz. She'sevach la'achil chatruma. Although he doesn't have tevel, he gets produce from elsewhere. He gets as truma, but he's going to give you a truma, which is forbidden to you because you're not a koyin. Now, the girsa of the Ran actually is that he's going to feed you truma that's tamei, which that he's saying that the Gemara's teaching is that even if you're a koyin, you shouldn't hang around a koyin amaoritz, because although a koyin could have truma, but he's going to give you truma that is tamei if he's an amaoritz, which is forbidden for a kohen to eat truma that's tamei. Another thing a person shouldn't be accustomed to is Val Tar B'Sicha Me'isha. Person should not increase his idle chatter that he has with a woman. The reason is Shasayv Chalov L'Deinu, if it's going to come to bring to lewdness, to inappropriate things of immorality, if one talks idle chatter with women. Nothing more continues on this theme. Reb Acha B'Reb Yeshia Omer, he says, Kalat Seifa B'Nashim, whoever gazes at women, Seifai Bola De'aver will ultimately bring him to sin. And V'Chol Mestakel Ba'Kei Shalish, whoever gazes at the heel of a woman, Havian Loi Banim She'in Mogan, will have inappropriate children. And that is, as Taisus brings, is what's called a Mida Keneged Mida. It's measure for measure, because since he's looking in the inappropriate place of a woman, so therefore he's going to have inappropriate children. Now, Amar Rav Yosef, he explains this. He actually says, this is even by one's own wife, who is menstruating now. That is, although there will be a time that she'll be permitted to, but now that she's a Nida, it's inappropriate for him to be looking at the places which are covered, which are generally covered by a woman. Now, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lachish, he interprets, he says, Akeva Diktani, this halacha that we learned, that it's, if someone gazes at the heel of a woman, he's going to have banim she'in muganim. It's actually referring to b'makom hatinoifes, to the unclean place of the woman, meaning a reference to the makom erva, the private areas of the woman. The reason why it's called the heel is because Chazal always want to use appropriate euphemisms for areas of our erva. So it's a reference to the heel, because the heel is directly opposite that area, but it's a reference to the makom erva of the woman. Related to this discussion, the Gemara says, "Tang learn the brises." The pasuk in Shemais, which talks about Moshe telling the people, "Don't be afraid by Hashem talking to you at Har Sinai," and that is because Hashem is coming so that Ubavur Tia Yeras El Paneichem, He's revealing Himself to you so that His fear should be on your face. So Zubusha, this is a reference to embarrassment, the fact that a person could be embarrassed. And the reason is as the Rosh explains, because whoever is afraid, he becomes embarrassed. And so that's why it's Yirasa Apaneichem, the fear is on person's face. That's a reference to being embarrassed. Levilti Techto, and this Busha is there so that a person, as the Pasuk concludes, that one shouldn't sin. Now, Malama, that comes to teach you, Shabusha Mevila de Yirashet, that embarrassment brings a person to fear of sin. And that's because Apaneichem sounds like it's talking about the busha that's on your face, which again, you can see a person's embarrassment from his face, and that's what the pasuk says, levolti techato, so you shouldn't sin. So it's a good attribute. Mikan amru, from here they said, that simen yafa ba'adam shubayshin. It's a good sign if a person is an embarrassed person, because it's a good tool in not doing the things that a person is afraid of things which are going to be violations of halacha. Achayim, others say, kaladam amizbayish, any person that gets embarrassed, it doesn't sin so easily. Someone that doesn't have the mida, the attribute of embarrassment, then definitely that person's fathers didn't stand by Har Sinai when the Torah was given. And the reason is because the pasuk says the reason why the whole Maimon Har Sinai, what was the purpose? So Hashem could have just given the Torah. Why did He make this whole event at Har Sinai? So Moshe Rabbeinu tells the people, that His fear should be on you. Which we explained that means to say the attribute of embarrassment. And the pasuk says in the Devarim Chav Tes that everybody was there. All the souls of the Jewish people, whether those that were born yet or that weren't born yet. And therefore, someone that doesn't have Baishas Pan doesn't get embarrassed. Obviously, not the children of the Jewish people, because they have the Midah of Baishas Pan. Now, continuing on the theme that we're speaking about regarding women, Sa'am Rabbi Yechon ben Davoy says, Dalad Dvorim Socheli Malachi Asharis. There were four things that the ministering angels told me. And the first one is, Chirgun Mipnei Mahavin. Why are there lame people? People that have problems with their thigh, with their leg, that they limp, that they can't walk so well. Why is that? And so they told me, Mipnei Shahivchim Est Shulchanim. Because, and this is a metaphor, a euphemism, because they turn their table around. And that is, as we're going to see on Amud Beis, that, and we find always that a Lashon Nekiyah of talking about Tashmish Amita, of marital relations, cohabitation, is used in the form of consumption. So here is that they turn the table around, which as the Mefarish says, either means to say that his face is towards her back, and that they have relations with their women in the unnatural way. Or another interpretation he gives is the opposite way, is that generally he's on top and she's on bottom. Here it's she's on top, and he's on bottom. So as the Ran explains that since the deviation here is with the thighs, with regards to matter relations, so therefore the punishment is in the thighs, creating lameness. And the second thing they told him was, Ilmim Mnei Mahavim, why are the people that are mute? So he said, Bamnei Shemenashkim al Oisimachim, because they kiss in that area of the erva, and that's inappropriate, and that affects the lips. And again, there's some Rishonim say that's regards to the person himself getting that punishment, or it's regards to the children that are born of that union. Why are there people that are deaf-mute? In other words, that they can't hear and they can't speak. And the reason is, because they talk during marital relations, and it comes out that they're sinning with their speaking and with their hearing, with their mouth and with their ears, which as the Tosis says, that because they should have had marital relations in a discreet, private manner, and here they are making their voices heard, which is inappropriate. Now, sumim mnei mahavin, the fourth thing is why they're blind people, mnei shemistaklim b'isam mokim, because they gaze again at the mokim erva of the woman. Now, regarding one of these halachas, the Gemara is verminu, but we learned as follows. Shalu es ima shalom, they asked ima shalom, which is the name of a woman. They asked her, mnei ma, what's the reason, as we continue on to Medbeis, that banayich yefeifin b'yesa, why is it that your children were so beautiful? So Amalehen, she said to them, Einoi misapri me, my husband does not have relations with me. Loi betchilas alala, not in the beginning of the night, but loi besoif alala, not at the end of the night. The reason is because women would be in the streets, either when it's towards the earlier part of the night, or the end of the night when it's towards morning time. And if we're going to have relations at that time, he's going to hear their voices in the street, and he might think about them, which would obviously take away from the intimacy between me and him. So he didn't have tashma shamita at that time, ela bechatzos alayla, rather only in the middle of the night, where he focuses just on me. Moreover, ukushu misaper, when he, which is a euphemism of talking, which is that, but and when he has tashmish, migala tefach umachasa tefach, he reveals an area of his private area of a tefach, and he conceals an area of a tefach, which the area of a tefach is around 4 inches, which this two tefachim is a reference to the Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Chof Gimel Beis that says that a person is allowed to reveal two tefachim for when he urinates. And what he did is from those two tefachim, which obviously a person is allowed to reveal from his aver, for example, for urination, here when he was using his aver in Tashmish Shemitah, he only revealed one of those two tefachim. When it says that he covered one, means to say that he left it covered, he only revealed one tefach. Again, this is conveying the idea of tznius and just focus on the intimacy of the man and the woman. Moreover, v'daimel of kemisha kafoy shade, it was almost that it was seemingly like a shade was forcing him in the tashmish. What that means to say is that he was very quick, like a person that's very perturbed because of a shade that's forcing him to do something, is that he wanted to be able to just focus on me, and if it would be prolonged, then he would lose focus, or his mind would wander to other things. And since he wanted to be so pure just between the two of them, he did it very quick. Now, v'amartilai, and I said to my husband, Matam, what's the reason? Why are you doing it only in the middle of the night? Why are you doing it in this way that it's very quickly? V'amartilai, and he said to me, K'dei sh'loi etin es'ena b'ishacher, so that I shouldn't be thinking about any other woman. I want to focus just on you. And because if I was thinking about another woman, v'nimtzu bonav bonav de mamzeres, it would almost be like as if his children would be illegitimate children, because that's where the seed is from. It's from the person that's emitting it. And it would be almost as if what his thoughts are in regard to the intimacy, focusing on a different woman, it would be almost like creating an illegitimate child. Now, but one thing the Gemara asks is that we see that they were talking, and we said that talking and listening during Tashmish is an inappropriate thing, and that's what causes charoshim, deaf mutes. And yet here we see that they were talking. So the Gemara says, Lo kasha, no, it's not a difficulty. Of course they could talk, but ha b'milu de tashmish. This is said they're permitted to talk, like they talked over here, and actually that's why she had beautiful children, and obviously nothing bad happened, was because he was talking about words of appeasement, and that was things relating to the tashmish, which was he wanted her to know how she's just the focus of just him. That the only thing he's focusing is on her. But ha b'milu achronasa, this that we said, it's inappropriate for them to be talking. So when we're talking about other things, you're talking about other things, then again, that loses from the intimacy between husband and wife, and that's inappropriate. However, Amar B'Yechanan, he says, Zu divrei Yechanan ben Davoy. This that we quoted before, saying that all these punishments of blindness and deaf mute are because of the ways of having marital relations, about speaking and about having in an unnatural manner. That was actually the opinion of Yechanan ben Davoy. But the sages argue, and they say, Ein halacha ki Yechanan ben Davoy. Halacha does not follow like him. Elo koma she'odem reitz alasis be'ishtoy. Aisa, whatever a person wants to do with marital relations with his wife, meaning even, let's say, in an unnatural manner, then he could do that. As the Gemara says, Mashal basar haba mebeis atavach, again, as we use the metaphor, and this is because it's specifically this metaphor, like meat that comes from the butcher, means to say that meat is just substance. It doesn't have form yet. The meat could be made in a way that it'll be a delicacy, or it could be chopped up and used in fast food. So what we're saying is that the understanding of the connectedness and the unity of the husband and wife is such that the husband is the form that utilizes the substance that all comes from the wife. The man can't survive without the food that he eats. The food essentially is the backbone, is what creates the man. But the man defines what he does with that meat. And that's the same thing with the unity of the husband and the wife, in that it's saying that the connectivity of the husband with the wife is that the husband is the form that's with the wife, that is his substance. And therefore, just like when the man gets meat from the butcher, Ratzel oichle b'melach oichle, if he wants to eat it with salt, he could eat it. Tzli oichle, if he wants to roast it, he could eat it that way. Mevushel oichle, if he wants to cook it, he could eat it that way. Shalak oichle, if he wants to eat it stewed, he could eat it that way. And so too fish that comes from the fisherman, however it is that he wants to make the fish, that's essentially what's going to be created from that. And that's the same thing with the unity of the husband and the wife, and that is to say the husband gets to define the unity that there is between the two of them. And again, the substance is everything, is the wife, everything is the food that is being consumed. But again, it's up to their discretion into how they're going to create that connectivity, and therefore they argue and they say it's even in an unnatural manner is permitted for the marital relations. Now, however, Amar Meimar, he says, if that's the case, the man malachi asharis, he said he heard from the ministering angels. Who is this that he heard from? So on that, the Gemara says, actually, it's the Rabbanan. It means the rabbis. And the reason is because the itemim malachi asharis mamash, if you would think he really heard from ministering angels, so then, Amai Amar Rabbi Yechanan Ein Halacha Ki Yechan Ben Davoy. So then, why would Rabbi Yechanan say that Halacha does not follow like him? Ha Inu Beki Bitzuris Havlat Fei. The ministering angels are more proficient in the understanding of the conception of children more than us. And if they would say it's inappropriate to do these things because that would cause damage to the human being, then obviously we would follow them. So obviously, it's not really Malach Asher. Obviously, it's just a term for the Rabbanan. Now, Amai Karluhu Malach Asher. Why did he call rabbis as ministering angels? The reason is because the mitzayne kamalach hasharis, because they're distinct like ministering angels. That is, they're separate from the rest of the people, like malach hasharis, as we say in the Haggadah on the Seder night, melamitra yisrael mitzionim sham. What that means to say that the Jews stood out in Egypt and they didn't get mixed up with the Egyptians. And as the Rosh says, that Talmid Chachamim, the rabbis, are distinct in Torah and Mitzvahs, and they're separate and they're more holy and sanctified from the rest of the people, like the sanctity of Malachi Asharis. Now, the Gemara brings a story illustrating this halacha that we said, that it's permitted, not like that Yochanan ben Dahavoy had said, and that it's permitted for them to have Tashmish in Shalei Kedarka, which, as we'll clarify, doesn't mean that it's permitted to have the full Tashmish that way, but it's permitted at least to have the Negiah of the Aver. So the Gemara says, Hahida soyle kamei de Rebbe. There was a certain woman that came in front of the Rebbe. And Amarle, she said to him, Rebbe, my teacher, and she spoke in an appropriate way. She had to ask halacha, because you have to ask even the most discreet matters. But she said it in an appropriate fashion. She said, Arachti loy shulchan. I prepared for him the table, which means to say, har, as we said, consumption in regards to tashmish. But for hafchei, he turned it around. So Amala, so he said to Abiti, my daughter, Taira hiti rasich, the Taira permitted you to him. And that's because the pasuk says, ki ikach ish isha, when a man will take a woman. Now, the word woman, isha, is me'ish lukachazais, meaning she is the substance of the man. And therefore, when he takes her in marriage, It's they can define for themselves that unity, which is really a part of him, how they want to create that unity. And therefore, that could be even Shalai Kadarka. Now, however, the Ram does bring that the Rambam says that as long as he doesn't emit seed in vain, meaning he cannot emit it in a place which will not create the form of a child, that that's going to be an Isser, because there's two halachas regarding intimacy. There's the connection, which is what our Gemara is talking about. And that could be they could define that connection in any sort of way. But obviously the seed has a different component. That's not just regarding the connectivity, that's regarding creating children. That has to be that doesn't go in vain. But he says regarding the intimacy that you're having, that the Torah permits you, and what could I do for you? And that is to say, this is something that you're permitted to do. Similarly, Hahid Asla Kamed Rab, there was a woman that came from the Rab. So Amaloy, so she said to him, Rebbe, Arachdi Lo Yishulchan V'Havchay. I prepared the table for him, and he turned it around. So he responded, Maishno Min Benisa, what's the difference then a fish where you could fry it, you could deep cook it, you could do whatever it is. And again, therefore, this is something that's permitted for you. It's not a problem to do it in all these different ways. Now, continue on this theme, the Gemara brings a pasuk in Bamidbar. It says, V'loisa sura acheri levavchem. We say this at the end of the third parasha of Krishma, V'yemer, that one should not, don't stray after your hearts. So what does that mean? So Mekanam Rebbe says that, meaning because there's obviously straying after your eyes, but there's also in your heart. So he says what that means is, Ayishta odem mekoy zeh, again, a euphemism, a person should not drink from this cup, V'yitin ein of mekoy sacher. And when he's drinking from this cup, he's looking at that cup. In other words, what that means is when a person is being intimate with his wife, he should not be thinking about another woman. Now, Amar Ravina explains, it says, Loi Nitzcha, this whole halacha was only necessary to tell us, Ela Dafila Beis Nasha, even if they're both his wives. In the time when, before Chaim Derbe Negeshrim, a person could have two wives, so then, even if she's permitted, because another woman that's not his wife is definitely, is always forbidden to be thinking about another woman. But we're saying that even if both women are permitted to you, but when you're drinking from one cup, you shouldn't be looking and thinking about the other cup. Continue on this theme. The Gemara brings a pasuk in Yechezkel that Hashem says, "Uvaresi mikem," that I've selected from among you, "Hamoyrdim v'hapoishim be," those who rebel and sin against me. Now, Omer Reb Levi says that who are these rebellious ones and sinners? Elu b'nei tesha midas. These are the nine types of characteristics. That is because they were created in sin. So they're the children that become the rebellious and sinner and the sinners. That's from the word of Bereisi, where in the process of conception, there's a selection process of what creates the child. And that's from these types of unions, which they are B'nai, Asnas, Meshkach, which are these nine letters referring to these nine different types of unions, which are inappropriate, creating children that have characteristics that could attribute to being a sinner. First one is B'nai Eima, sons of fear. In other words, where the husband intimidated the wife to be intimate against her will. Now, because of that, the children also are not appropriate, because since he acted inappropriately, as the Gemara says elsewhere, that V'atzper G'laim Chayt, if he forces her, then he's a sinner. So too, the children also become sinners. Now, also, the same Aleph refers to B'nai Anusa, which is worse than intimidation, which is actually forcing her to be intimate. And since these two ideas, B'nai Eima, of intimidating, which is also a type of mental force, similar to the forcing of B'nai Anusa, that's why they're considered in one letter of the Aleph, because if you count up all of them, you'll see that there's actually 10. So obviously, B'nai Eima, B'nai Anusa are both included in one characteristic of the Aleph. Now, continuing on, the next one was B'nai Snua, which is that he hates his wife. And because of that, as the Ran explains, he's thinking about another woman. Again, these types of unions, the union of a husband and wife, is supposed to be the ultimate connection. And if anything is deficient in that, and that is if, let's say, he's not fully cognizant of the union or just thinking about her or definitely thinking about another woman, it's going to create problems in the progeny of the fruits of that union, which is obviously shows up in the children. So if he hates her, he's thinking about someone else, that's going to create a problem. B'nai Nidui, which is if, let's say, they're intimate when he's excommunicated, which is forbidden to have a union, and that would create problems in the children. B'nai Temura, if, let's say, he had two wives, and he was intimate with one, thinking it was the other wife. So she was swapped, she was switched. That's a problem. Again, because that's a problem in that connection, in that union, although it's permitted. But since he thinks it's someone else, that creates a problem. B'nei Meriva. And this is even if he doesn't hate her. He was just fighting at that moment. They were fighting it that day. And then they're intimate. That's a problem. B'nei Shikrus. If, let's say, he's drunk, and then they're intimate, which obviously he's not able to focus on her because he's drunk, that's a problem. B'nei Grushas Halev. If, let's say, in his heart, he wants to divorce her. So in his heart, she's already divorced. That creates problems in the children. And B'nei Ervuvia. If many people was bought on his wife, so that the union with his wife will create inappropriate children. And the last one, B'nei Chatzufa, which is that if she has the audacity to explicitly request from him to be intimate with her, which is not according to the appropriateness of a woman, and especially regards to the most sanctified part of their union, again, that could create a problem. Now, regarding this last one, the Gemara asks, Ini, is that really true that that's inappropriate? But the Amr Reb Shmuel bar Nachmeni Amr Reb Yonasan, he said, "Kol Adam she'ishtoi tevate." Any man that has his wife request from him, like Leah, who went out by Yaakov, and she said to him, "Tonight you come to me." Although he's supposed to go to Rachel, but we made a switch because of the didom that my son Reuven, and you come to me. Havin Leibana will have children. Shafila b'derish shel Moshe Rabbeinu loyakamisim. That even in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't have such great children. Because actually from that union that she brought Yaakov to him, she had Yisachar, which as the Gemara will shortly quote, that they were Yoydei Bin Elitim, which they were a great tribe. Shem, like it says in Pasuk in Devarim, it says, Havu lechem anashim chacham nevoinim. It was Moshe's responsibility to get men who were wise and of understanding. Yet Uchsev, it says in the Pasuk in Devarim, Ve'ekach es roshei shevteichem, I took the heads of your tribes, but like Siv nevoinim, it doesn't say that they were men of understanding because they couldn't find men of understanding. So this was in the generation of great people, like in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet, Uchsiv, it says the pasuk Bereishis, Yisachar chamoy garim. Yisachar was like a strong-boned donkey. And that's the child that was born from that union of when Leah brought Yaakov and said, "You come to me tonight." Uchsiv, and it says the pasuk Devayam Aleph, it says, "Mimnei Yisachar, from the sons of Yisachar, were yodei bina leitim, men of understanding of the times." So we see that it's a great thing for a woman to request tashmish from her husband. So how can we say that's considered b'nei chatzufa that causes children that are murdered and poishim? So that the Gemara answers, ha'hi demiratzi artsuya. What that means is, like what Leah had done was that she seduces and entices him with words of appeasement and of love and affection. Like Leah didn't tell Yaakov, "Come, let's be together." And she said that, "Oh, come, you come to my tent tonight." But she didn't explicitly request and ask of him to have tashmish. That would be considered b'nei chatzufa. But if he meratza, actually that is an appropriate thing and creates children that are so great that are nevainim, which even the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't have such people. Hadron lach ve'elu mutarim, we shall return to you the second paragraph of Sefer Tzedarim, Perek ve'elu mutarim.